ask you just for a moment to stand, if you wouldn't mind, if you've been seated, and let's just sing to the Lord in our heavenly language tonight. Come and just worship Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come on, release those rivers. Lift up and worship to Him. Oh, Eliana, Masala, oh, Eliana. For you are good. For you are good, and your mercy endures forever, O Lord. Eh, the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom, Lord. Oh, was and is to come, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, for you are good. And your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing like His presence. Amen. Let's go ahead and just be seated in His presence tonight. And tonight is a great night. As you know, this is our first Fire in the Night in Phase 2. And I'm excited. We're focusing on the glory of God tonight, and I'm just excited to share the word of the Lord with you in this hour. Pastor Ruth had given us a theme for this evening, and it's this wonderful verse from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And church, this is God's desire, and this is God's intention for us. That one day the earth would be so filled with the knowledge of God's glory that it would be as full of that knowledge as the ocean is of water. And that's a staggering statement. You know, at its deepest point in the Marianas Trench out in the Pacific Ocean, the ocean goes down to a depth of 36,000 feet below sea level. That's 7 miles of water. And this is God's determination that one day the world would possess the knowledge of His glory to that extent. And of course, that raises a very important question that I want to explore with you. What is the glory of God? And we want understanding on that question, you know, because it's easier to enter into something if we have a little understanding about it. Should have said amen on that, but it's all right. What does the Bible mean when it talks about the glory of God? And what were the writers of Scripture trying to convey when they talked about it? That's what I want to share with you on. You have a little handout, I think, with some notes. And I hope you follow along with me. And all the scriptures aren't there. I didn't spell them all out for you, but you can take that home and study those scriptures on your own. But I want to talk to you about this question. What is the glory of God? Let's talk about this word that we hear all the time, glory. So let's first try to define this word for ourselves a little bit. So while the word glory may have some different meanings in English, in looking at the scriptures, we'll need to consider what it means in the biblical languages, the languages of the Bible, in Hebrew and in Greek. The usual Hebrew word for glory is kavod, and that means weightiness or heaviness. And so because of that, that word was used symbolically to mean reputation and power. We do the same thing in English, right? When we talk about somebody who carries a lot of weight. And because the Hebrews used that word to speak about a person's greatness, it was also natural to apply it to the brightness of something. The usual Greek word for glory is doxa, and that was used in much the same way as kavod was used in Hebrew. So when we put this all together, we see that for the writers of Scripture, glory means weightiness, reputation, and honor. And depending on the context, it may also mean brightness, majesty, and radiance. And that would be the basic definition in both testaments of the Bible. And the word glory is used in different ways, but I want to suggest to you that there are three main ideas that the Bible is expressing when it speaks about glory. And first, glory can be the reputation or the great reputation or the greatness of a person, place, or thing. And that includes the greatness of God himself. So the word glory stands for the honor, the fame, the renown, the beauty, or the majesty of a person, place, or thing. And when it's used in that sense, glory means all of those things that cause us to say that something is great and not ordinary. So when Joseph was in Egypt and he sent his brothers back home to spread the news that he was alive, he said to them, "Tell my father of all my glory in Egypt." See, that was the glory of a person. In Matthew 4, we see that word being applied to a place. We read there that the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him, it says, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. But of course, there are many places where glory is used to speak of the majesty of God. So in Isaiah 42, God says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another." So in the scriptures or in our singing sometimes tonight, when we see phrases like glorify the Lord or give God the glory, it means to give him the honor or to recognize his greatness. So in Psalm 96, it says, "Give the Lord the glory, do his name." See, we are called to glorify God, and that means that we ascribe honor and majesty to him. It means we say about him that he possesses honor and majesty. Second, in the scriptures, glory is also used to talk about the soul of a man or the most precious part of a person's life. So in other words, in the Bible, a man's glory is what he delights in, rejoices in, and boasts in, whether that's something good or bad. It simply refers to the value that he places upon it. Now, we don't use this word this way in English, but in Hebrew culture, they did. And that explains why in some places in the Psalms, you'll see David saying things like, "Awake, O my glory," or, you know, "Awake, my glory, rise and sing," and so forth. And then a third use, and this belongs to God alone, and this is what we're interested in tonight. The word glory is used to speak about the radiance of God's own person. In other words, this is the splendor, the beauty, the majesty, and the brightness of God himself. Now, this manifests to us as light, but it's more than light alone. That radiance carries with it a manifestation of God's power, God's honor, and God's weightiness that can have an effect on the human heart and even on the physical realm around us. So when believers speak about the glory of God, that's what they're often talking about. Going along with that idea, you might have heard about the Shekinah, or the Shekinah glory of God. Now that word that you might have heard, Shekinah, Shekinah, it's not found in the Bible, although the concept is certainly there. The Shekinah in Hebrew, that word is related to the idea of dwelling or resting or sitting. So we could say that the Shekinah is the presence of God's glory as it rests or abides in a place. The Hebrew word for tabernacle is mishkan, and it's related to this word. And that's because in the tabernacle, you may know that God's presence rested upon or rested over the Ark of the Covenant. So if you were to go inside the veil of the Holy of Holies, you would see the Shekinah, the very light of God's presence, seated upon the Ark and using it as his throne or his resting place. So that's what the Shekinah glory is. You know, technically speaking, the Ark of the Covenant is actually the footstool of God's throne in heaven. And it symbolizes that Israel and the nations are worshiping at his feet. More than just symbolizing it, really, because he was literally there. Well, there are lots of powerful examples of the glory of God appearing in Scripture, as I'm sure you know. In Exodus 24, we read about God descending on Mount Sinai. It says, "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." Do you know there's glory like that in the New Testament also? We all know the story of the shepherds at Christmas time. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "There were in the same area shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." So those are the ways that the Bible uses the word glory. So now that we have a little bit of understanding on that, I want to look into something very exciting with you, and that's God's plan for you and the glory. Did you know that God's plan is for you to share in his glory? You may not have ever thought about salvation in these terms, but God's plan and God's goal from all eternity has been for you to share his glory. See, if you could read the Bible from God's perspective, it's really the story of what God has done and what God still plans to do in the future so that you can fully share in his glory. That's the purpose of God, and that's his intention for you. Salvation, I like to say like this, salvation is actually God's glory plan. So let's just take a few minutes before we pray about this. I want to take you through this thread. I want to follow God's glory plan with you through history because I want you to see this and I want you to catch this. And like I said, look up those scriptures that I'm listing here on your own time later on. It will bless you. So first we have this astonishing idea that man was originally made to experience the glory of God. Did you know that? Actually, we were designed to wear God's glory like a covering. Made without sin, Adam and Eve were able to move and interact in the glorious presence of God and not shy away from it. In Psalm 8, David says, speaking about man, he says, "For you have made him a little lower than Elohim, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." See, that glory was our covering. And when man sinned, what happened? Do you remember when God showed up after man sinned? They saw when they sinned that they were naked. And they had never had an awareness of being naked and uncovered before. Why? Because they were covered. They were clothed with the glory of God. Before we fell, God could come, God could walk and talk with them without any veil or any barrier or filter between them and the glory of God. But now, when God would appear, they would feel they needed to hide from God in his presence. We lost that glory and we lost our access to God's presence. Do you know that God posted a guard to keep us from going back and eating the tree of life? It tells us in Genesis 3, it says he drove out the man to guard the way to the tree of life. So no more would men be able to enjoy the nearness of God. And God in his love didn't want us to eat the tree of life and live forever without being brought into relationship with him again. See, now that man was sinful, the glory and the holiness of God would now destroy us. So as we go further through time, when God wants to reveal himself to his people, we see that when God appeared, he would have to cover himself in thick darkness that would prevent his glory from consuming sinful people. We see this at Mount Sinai in Exodus 24. It says, "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. Later on, when Moses drew near to God and he asked to see the glory of God, God told him, "You cannot see my face, because no man shall see me and what? And live." But God was merciful. And the next step in his glory plan was to tabernacle among his people, to live among them on a permanent basis. But you know, they still couldn't handle his direct presence unfiltered. And God's answer was to live with them, but with his glory behind a veil. So in Exodus chapter 40, God gives instructions to Moses, and he says, "You shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting and put inside it the ark and partition off the ark with a veil." And this is how God lived with Israel for centuries. He was present among them, but out of necessity, God had to hide himself away from them. And so his glory was there, but it was tantalizingly out of reach of the people, and it was only accessible under special conditions. Is this interesting? Because I think this is interesting. But God wanted to draw nearer to us, and so what happened? He sent Jesus, his son. When Jesus came, God's plan entered a significant new phase, because Jesus, the God of glory himself, became flesh. And so now his glory was veiled by that flesh that he possessed, but still he always possessed that glory. He said that he shared that glory with the Father before the world even was. And sometimes his glory did appear to his disciples, and they got a glimpse of the God-man in more fullness. The beginning of John's gospel, John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know the Gospels, you know that there came a day when some of the disciples actually saw his glory revealed. In Matthew 17, it says, "He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun in its brightness, and his clothes became as white as the light." And they saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They saw that glory that Moses was not enabled to see in Jesus' face. But now, because of what Jesus did, he has made a way for us to draw near to God's glory in ways that the people in earlier ages could not do. I wish I had a lot of time to talk about this, but I don't. You see, as believers in Christ, even though, Pastor Ruth, I'm going very fast. As believers in Christ, listen, you got to get this. As believers in Christ, now we are able to tolerate that glory and encounter God in the Spirit. Are you with me on that? We are able to tolerate that glory and encounter God in the Spirit, encounter him in our inner man. We have relationship with him now in the realm of the Spirit. Why? Because we are in Christ. Paul says that all of us now, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into that same image from one glory to another glory by the Spirit of the Lord. There's so much there that we can't discuss, but listen, you know that when Jesus died, what happened? The veil of the temple that covered the Shekinah was torn in two. And that meant that the way was now open for us to approach God's presence. The Bible says that now we can have boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he consecrated for us to draw near to the Father. You know, we have another great benefit as believers in the glory. His Spirit, his glory is actually now within us. Galatians 4 says, because you are now sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So not only can you approach the God of glory in prayer, but he has actually come to take up residence inside of you. In other words, you as individuals and we all as a people have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Story gets even more amazing because we can also experience the presence of his glory resting upon us. His anointing, his touch, the touch of his Spirit can rest upon us, sometimes even visibly. Did you know that? This was the case on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Do you remember that people saw flames of fire resting on the heads of the believers? And church, I want to tell you tonight, God encourages his saints that in the last days, his glory will be seen upon you as he uses your life to pierce the darkness with his light. You say, where do you get that? Well, at the beginning of Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, because your light has come, and the kavod, the glory of Yahweh himself has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Pastor Glenn, it's going to be bad. And deep darkness will cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you. And listen, and his glory will be seen upon you. And that's not just so that you can enjoy his presence, although that's an awesome benefit, obviously, of that. There's a harvest purpose in that. Because the next verse says, what will happen? The Gentiles, the unsaved of the earth, they will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. We can pray. We need to pray for a great outpouring of God's glory upon us, even a manifestation of his power that other people might be able to see visually. So that his glory now, you see, his glory is not just within us, but his glory can be upon us now. And the Shekinah that God once had to hide for their sake behind a veil, that Shekinah will rise upon you and be manifest to the world. It depends on us carrying it. And I believe it's going to happen because I believe that the church will fulfill its divine mission. How do I know that? I know that because Jesus himself, from his own lips, he said, this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. But you know what? The wonderful thing about Jesus is that the longer you serve him, the deeper, the further you go in him, the better it gets. And so his glory plan, his plan for glory in your life even increases. Church, when we leave this world or when Christ returns to set up his kingdom, whichever comes first, the Bible tells us we will see him as he is, face to face. You, your destiny in God is to one day be permeated with the glory of God. Not just within you, not just shining upon you, a tongue of flame, but for you to be permeated with his glory, and you will share in the glory of his resurrection. What a miracle. Jesus said at the Last Supper, he prayed, he said, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, listen, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. The Apostle Paul told us that more glory is coming for you. That's not just honor from God. It is, in a sense, God will give you glory in that sense. He will reward you. He will cause you to receive honor for the works you've done in his name before the presence of all, before the great cloud of witnesses. But it is more than that. It is his presence in you, in your being. Paul said in Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with, listen, the glory which will be revealed in us. And to the Colossians, he said, in Colossians 3, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, listen, then you also will appear with him in glory. He told the Philippians how that would happen, although we don't yet understand the mechanics of it. You will someday, but not here. Paul said, Christ will transform our lowly body so that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue even all things to himself. The work of Christ, you say, well, the work of Christ is finished. Yes, it is, but not totally. Christ has more work to do in your life, and part of that work that Jesus is going to accomplish in your life someday is to transform your body so that it becomes a glory full of kavod, a glory of doxa, of glory like his resurrection body. You see, in order to fully stand in his glory, to stand in the presence of God unfiltered and face to face, be able to look God in the eye, you will have to be fully compatible with it. Just like Adam had once been long ago. That's why John says in 1 John 3, beloved, now, meaning already, we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in order to be able to look God eyeball to eyeball, you will have to be made out of something that can tolerate the full blast of God's presence. Church, what's the beautiful culmination of God's plan? Well, you were made to live in God's glory. Not only does he intend for it to be in you, he intends to bring the fullness of his glory here to this earth and live with us with no veil, with no cloud, and with no barrier. It will be like the Garden of Eden again, but this time without any possibility of sin spoiling things. Nor will there be ever again any possibility of broken fellowship between God and man or people and each other. What a plan and what a God. We read about this in Revelation 21 and 22, and I just want to read this. Just listen to these words. John says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he goes on to say later, he says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb, John said, is its light. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is God's glory restored, a new heaven and a new earth filled with his glory. And at the center of all of it is God's desire to be with you and to share his glory with you. I want to ask you to stand with me. And I want to ask you to just give him thanks and a praise for that. And we'll pray. Come on, would you give him some thanks with your lips? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to just not only thank the Lord for his glory plan in our lives, but we want more of his glory in us. Amen. We're going to pray. We have a few minutes before we get into the next hour. I want to invite you to come to the front. I want to invite you to come to this altar, and we're going to pray about this. We're going to ask God to pour out his glory. Listen, for God to take us, whatever level of glory you're at, do you know that God can bring you to the next level of glory as we gaze on him? The Bible says all of us, as we look upon him with an unveiled face, the Holy Spirit is transforming us, and he's taking us from one glory to another. Can we sing that chorus that I think you're playing there? Show us your glory. Lead us in that, and we'll pray. Lift up your hands and let's sing this together. From seeking more of you because we feel unworthy. And the Holy Spirit wants to break the power of shame tonight. I read you a scripture, you can look it up later in Hebrews, but it talks about that the blood of Jesus has made a way into God's presence, there's a new way. There's a living way. It's a way that ministers life, that you can come into God's presence unashamed and unafraid. There's a line in the verse. We didn't sing the verse, but in that verse, the singer says to God, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Why can we not be afraid when Moses had to be afraid, when the people of Israel had to back up a mile or so not to be close? It's because the blood of Jesus has made a way for you to see God with unveiled face. So we're not the people of shame. We're the people to whom God delights to give his glory, share his glory, transform you from one glory to a higher glory, and one day so permeate you with it that you'll be able to stand in front of his throne, not from a mile back, but face to face. Listen, you say you're exaggerating that. No, I'm not, because I just read you in the Word of God where it says he will wipe away every tear from their eye. You got to be pretty close and pretty trusting up close to a person to let them take their finger and wipe that tear off your face. The creator of the universe is going to do that to you someday. The best thing of all, those are the last words of John Wesley as he was passing from this world to the next world. He said, the best of all is God is with us. The best thing of all is God is with us. Wesley has fullness of experience, but you already have it. We already have, the Bible says, we already have the deposit of the Spirit. We already have what the Bible will call the engagement ring of the Spirit while you wait for this day. And God wants you to experience his glory now. So I want you to lift your hands. God's glory is going to come. The presence of God is going to fall on this place right now. God's going to take you to another level of glory that's going to fix some things in your life. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Spirit of God. Bo Ruach Elohim. Bo Ruach Elohim. Come, Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, come. Just tell him, say, God, I receive your glory. I receive your glory. I receive your glory, God. God, I receive your glory. God, I'm a participant in your glory plan, and I receive your glory now, Lord God. Lord, not just when I go to see you face to face, but I receive your glory now, God. Lord, let your glory come. Let your glory fall. Let your fire fall, God. Let your glory come. God, radiate your people. Radiate your people with glory now, God. We need your glory, God. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Show me your face, oh God. Show us your glory. Ruach HaKodesh. It out to a wider circle, because a few days before that flame sat upon them visibly, Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses for me in all the circles radiating out from your home base. So you've got glory. The glory of God is in you always. But we want to pray for the home circle. We want to pray for your household. I want you to lift up your face. Lift up your hands, your face to him, and I want you to ask him to pour out his glory on your house. Pour out his glory on your home, on the prodigals, on the spouse that gave you a bad time about coming here tonight. Father, pour out your glory on our homes, Lord. Pour out your glory on our spouses, God. Pour out your glory on the prodigals. Come on, make a cry to him. Lift up your voice. Send your glory. Send your glory, Lord. Send your glory to my house. Send your glory to my children. Send your glory to my spouse. Lord, send your glory to our prodigals right now. Transforming glory of the Ruach HaKodesh. Holy Spirit, come in great power in our homes. Fill our homes with glory, God. God, you said that your glory would be the covering over all the dwelling places of Zion, Lord. Let your glory be the covering and the defense of the dwelling places of Zion tonight, Lord God. Send your glory to our homes, God. Send your glory to our homes, God. Reach one, touch one, sanctify one, save one, baptize them in the Holy Spirit and fire, God. Gifts and callings, distribute gifts and callings, Spirit of God. Glory, glory, glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. Transforming glory. Yes, God. For God, you said in your word that on every dwelling place, Lord, your glory would be the covering and your glory would be the defense. So we just want to take a minute, Lord, before we move on with the night, Lord. We want to pray for one more sphere, one more circle. God, we want your glory, your abiding presence, your kavod, Lord, to come and fill this house, Lord. For your glory to come on harvest time, Lord God. Lord, that your glory would be, Lord, not just a touch. Not just that people would say, let's go there because you know there's a good word there. You know there's a good move of the Spirit. The worship is good over there. But God, let there be a presence of your glory in here. Let there be a Shekinah, Lord. Let there be the Shekinah here, God. Abiding, remaining presence. Lord, that when people come in here, they would say, I'll never be the same after I went to that church. Not just that they had a good worship set, but that they'll come in and they'll say, I will never be the same again. You have to come with me. You have to see this place. You have to feel what I feel when I go to this place because God is there and he touched my body and he healed my body and he took away my disease and he forgave my iniquity and he got my kid off drugs. So come on, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and let's cry out to God for his glory to fill this house. Come on. Come on, Lord. Fill this place, Lord. Fill harvest time. Come on, make that your prayer. Fill this house with glory. Fill this house with glory. Fill this house with glory, Lord. Fill this house with glory, Lord. Fill this house with your glory, Lord. Fill this house. Show
Sure.